your superpowers again?
I'm rich. One thing I can tell you is you've got to be free. My turn.
Come together. And the parking lot goes!
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
I've never seen you write a note in my life.
Oh my god.
I'm like become organized with this new job. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It sounds crazy. We are recording now before you share any information.
No proprietary or non-public information. My job's really cool, though, guys. Like, for real. I mean, I get to talk to some pretty interesting people, and it's making me realize how easy it is to get in touch with people if you really want to. You just got to go look for them.
True.
I'm a professional stalker now. That's my job.
I thought you've always had that job.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I wasn't getting paid for it before, though. Now I'm getting paid. It's awesome.
Your obsession has finally paid off.
And you took that Don't even joke. I actually looked, but she's not on LinkedIn. So
once again, we are recording.
Oh, welcome to another episode of Pocket Knife News. I'm Aaron.
I'm Homer.
I'm David.
And I'm Tyler.
I knew we wouldn't have to go over it with Tyler. I knew he'd be able to figure it out.
He's watching the screen. That's why he's like focused. Like,
now I am.
He took a break from Injustice. Injustice 1 or 2, Tyler?
2.
2.
He's waiting for that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles DLC, bro.
Dude.
Hell no. It's the worst part of that game.
And we're done. That's it.
All right. Thank you for listening to us.
What do you mean the turtles are the worst part of the game?
Like, I love the turtles. Don't get me wrong, man. But it's a DC game.
I love Scorpion.
Yeah. Scorpion was cool as one character in the first one. Here you are with two Mortal Kombat characters, a Dark Horse character, and Ninja Turtles, which is IDW. That's just way too many non-DC licensed characters in this game when you have so many other ones you can choose from.
But, I mean, you have IDW-DC crossover has already exist. They've already established the Batman-Turtle crossover. I think that's a good poll.
It is, but two Mortal Kombat characters? Like, Sub-Zero was cool. Raiden's cool on his own. And I don't think they're together.
Sub-Zero and Raiden are...
Yeah. Both in the game.
Unnecessary. You already have Captain Marvel. What do you need Raiden for?
Well, that's the thing. Is Captain Marvel's not around in Injustice 2.
What the fuck, man?
Dude, Superman kills... Captain Marvel in the first Injustice.
I guess we should mention spoiler. That this whole episode is spoiler related.
Yeah, I started off right.
He's all let's do it.
And the game ends this way.
Yeah.
I can't have Injustice 2 spoilers. That's our Christmas gift. Me and my kids. That's our Christmas gift.
I won't spoil anything of Injustice 2
And
for
kids,
you.
That is a spoiler for y'all.
I'm pretty sure my 7-year-old is not listening to this podcast.
He's all, hey, Dad, Mom, let me listen to the podcast. And you're like, oh, thank you very much.
Injustice 1 has been out since 2014, I believe. So your fault for not picking that up.
It's been a minute since I played that, though.
Okay.
My son was tired of losing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kick his ass with Sparkling all the time. Tyler!
What's up?
Our special guest today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Tyler's been on our Instagram page a couple times. Hangs out there. He's a pretty cool dude. Tyler, what do you do for fun, man?
Anything comic book related or pop culture. I've kind of soak all that stuff up because it's interesting as hell to me. And I like to visit cons in and out of the city. I went to the Renaissance Fair last weekend, so I'm kind of always going, doing something.
That's good, man. What's your... You're pretty well known for a couple cosplays. One in particular that I knew you for first, which was
The Red Hood.
Yeah, it's got a pretty sick Red Hood, man. It's pretty
Thanks,
nice.
Man.
I like it.
It's my pride and joy. I took a lot of time piecing that one together. Shout out to Ruthless FX for getting me my helmet. It's badass. Those guys do some really good work.
It's good stuff, man. So Tyler is in the con world very frequently, and he's a super nerd.
That's right.
I was pretty confident of his super nerdom, just like seeing him at cons and like hanging out on the internet. And then we went to lunch and yep, definitely a super nerd.
Yeah.
Which is totally cool, man. It's perfect.
I mean, for those. Yeah. You must watch a lot of gay porn.
He's quick on his feet. I like it.
David's all, I'm fucked.
I'm screwed.
Only a couple times in my life, just because I was curious of what it looked like.
Yeah. Well, you probably never seen me there.
That's too funny.
I've been around the place. I don't know if you've ever here in town. I used to work at Heroes and Fantasies, the comic book shop, so I was there.
Okay.
Yeah. I've kind of had a job somewhere in San Antonio for the last 10 years, so.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm hit with allergies today, and it's really fucking annoying. So if I sound like I don't have a nose, sorry?
Well, I can see you have a nose, so I think we're, you know.
I have never been more envious of Lord Voldemort than when I have allergies in my nostrils.
When the allergies kick in.
That motherfucker never had a nose. Real lucky guy.
Yeah.
We're here today to talk about something in particular, though. We all may or may not have seen a movie over the past week, and I assume we've all seen this movie.
Twice.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know we've all seen this movie. Usually you pay double for that kind of action. Justice League. Let's get into it, man. We are here to talk about Justice League. It's been long coming, and it's really weird because once it finally got here, it really didn't even feel like it was here. I was still a little taken aback. And I was pretty excited to see it Thursday night. I went Thursday night. Tyler, I know you went Thursday night. I don't know when you guys went, David and Homer. Homer, you went Friday morning, right?
Yeah, I went Friday morning.
And David saw it at some point as well.
Yep.
I assume. You took a Maya to go see it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Really? Yeah, I always
try to go see it. Now I'm curious.
Oh.
I took my oldest. I didn't bring the baby this time. I was like, fuck that. I'm trying to pay attention to this. I don't need any distractions. And this older kid is a distraction enough.
Who's that? Who's that? I've never seen him before. Who's that?
Oh, did you see it? Did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. what's he doing? Why is he doing it? Riley, I'm literally watching the same fucking movie you're watching. I don't know what more you want me to tell you, kid.
We're on the same page, bro. Why is he
breathing? To live. Like, I don't... What do you mean? Why are they... what do you mean? Were you not watching the movie? No. Oh, God.
See, I do that, and my girlfriend hates me for it. Or I'll recognize people from other movies or TV shows. I'm like, oh, my God, that's that one guy. She's like, shut the fuck up and let me watch this movie, please.
See, but that's an acceptable interruption. I feel like, oh, my God, did you see that in the corner? Oh, did you see the ring? Those things work. Oh, my God, look, it's the cameo. Dude, it's that guy that he always plays a bad guy in the opening scene. He's always the bad guy. I don't know what the fuck his name is.
It's that one guy named Hector from every Fast and Furious movie. He's in this one again, and he's named Hector.
I'm pretty sure that is his name, too.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so let's do this. I have an itinerary, and now that I'm looking at this itinerary, it's basically just talk about Justice League the entire time. Initial reactions to seeing this movie. How stoked were you, and how much did it meet your level of stokeness by the time you walked out of the theater? Guess first, Tyler, go.
I was great, man. I was hyped up all the way going to this thing. I tried to like downplay it, you know, because I didn't want to seem like that dude at work where I was just bouncing around wearing nothing but Batman hats and Batman t-shirts all week. But I was pretty excited going into it, and you know, I kept up my level of excitement the entire way through. I never was once let down.
That's good. I followed a similar format where I really tried to downplay it. I went almost like 40 days. I didn't watch any of the additional teasers. I didn't rewatch any of the trailers. I didn't watch anything. I scrolled right past it. Didn't read anything. And going into it, so I was pretty ready for whatever. Coming out of it, I wasn't sure how I felt initially. And then after thinking about it more, and I was like, man, I really did enjoy this. I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed that. And then I had this big aha moment that I text you, Tyler, about almost immediately when I had it the next day. I was like, yeah, no, this movie's fucking awesome. And I can't wait to see it again. Homer?
I don't know. Okay.
Oh no, here we
go. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. But okay, so I was hyped for it. I enjoyed it. It was a great movie. It was funny. But maybe I felt like it was too funny. I guess. I don't know if that was wrong. But I felt like, I don't know, it was just too funny and I wanted more seriousness to it, I guess. But maybe that was just me. But like I said, don't get me wrong, I laughed and I enjoyed it and I thought it was great and I can't wait for like the DVD special feature, extended cut, 50 extra minutes, all that BS crap. So
I'm definitely ready for that extra hour because it definitely felt like a couple things were missing. And I would have to agree with you. I did miss the seriousness a little bit. Like I watched BVS before I went in. I was like, man, it's pretty dark. And it's good though. And I really thought they were going to take that different tone. And I think in the end, that lighter tone worked for like 95% of the movie. And I'll buy that for a dollar. David? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just don't think you could have characters like The Flash interacting with these characters on such a dark movie. So, the need to lighten it up would definitely was there or had to be there for the character to work with the rest of the team.
Good point. Very good point. David, how you doing?
Haters corner in the house. No.
There's a reason David was safe for last. No. I controversy begins.
I did not hate the movie. I liked it just as much as I like BVS. So, I mean, if that means anything. I feel y'all are right. Honestly, I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, I did laugh quite a bit during the movie. And maybe they were trying to do it like Marvel, trying to follow that formula. I honestly don't know what to say. I mean, it was just a
movie. I was going to make this detailed list of notes. Instead, I'll say nothing.
I wasn't excited to go see it. I knew I wanted to see it. Like, I was like, I want to go see that movie. But it wasn't like when The Avengers comes out next summer, I'm going to be super excited to see that. I wasn't at that level for this one. But I think it was good for the hardcore comic book fans. Like, you know, obviously all y'all liked it. I feel, again, the finance brain in me, it goes back to the whole, you know, films for financial and business purposes. Obviously, it's a bomb so far, apparently. I didn't read any reviews before. I mean, I saw, because it's all over Facebook, it had a rotten score on it already. But, I mean, I don't ever let that affect me because I love going to the movies, period. Again, I thought it was a decent movie. For just a casual moviegoer, I can see how people might not like it and why critics gave it the rating they did. A lot of critics aren't comic book fans, and I feel that this movie was made specifically to appease comic book superhero fans, like hardcore fans that are familiar with the mythology of DC and everything. That's pretty much my take on it. I mean, again, it was just like I told you, as soon as I got out of the movie, I texted y'all. I was like, yeah, it was meh for me. I never read the comics. Now, I obviously know Batman, I know Wonder Woman, I know Flash, just because it's been around for years, cartoons, X-Men, all that crazy stuff. But I've never been, I was never one to actually read comic books when I was younger. So I went into these things as just an average moviegoer who likes seeing action and suspense, whatever the type of movie it is. And for just an average moviegoer, it was meh. Now, I'm sure if I was like totally in the mythology and everything, going back and watching, reading comic books, I probably would have enjoyed it a little bit more. I think one of my favorite parts was just the nods all over the movie. I really liked the I didn't think I'd see a Green Lantern in there, which was really cool. I love also how they didn't even like explain it later, but you know, obviously one of the lanterns gets killed in there, and then the ring comes off and it flies away, like it's gonna go find the next lantern.
The next one, yeah.
I think that's gonna link up. Hopefully,
yeah, we know you love the Green Lantern. But yeah. I still have not heard a reason why you didn't like this movie. You keep saying it's going to be steeped in the mythology, or why an average moviegoer wouldn't like this movie. I don't really think you had to be steeped in mythology to understand what was going on. I thought this is like the tough thing.
I'm pretty freaking confused. Not confused, but the all right, the whole Steppenwolf thing. He just shows up out of nowhere, and obviously, I mean, I get it because I read up on the character and what happened and. I mean, just, again, I read up on a lot of this stuff beforehand, just over the period of all these movies coming through. And obviously with BVS, Batman had the nightmare sequence where he kind of like saw this happen before. And so I kind of already know what was going to happen, but he just shows up out of nowhere. They don't really like explain it too much in detail, which might be a good thing. But for me, I was just like, I mean, for me, I thought it was terrible CGI, but I thought Ezra Miller as the Flash was amazing. He was like probably my favorite part of it. But then again, I like to laugh. So I guess, as like I said, I didn't hate the movie. I just, it was just a movie to me.
I really thought you were going to have a more compelling argument of why people wouldn't like this movie.
Honestly, I'm trying to gather my thoughts right now, and I'm just like so like.
All right. Let me pose the question. So, like this, have you ever seen the movie Bedazzled?
Dazzled with Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like this scene where Brenna Fraser goes into Homegirl's bedroom and like reads the diary, and he like wishes to be exactly like the guy in her diary, and then he becomes that, and she wants nothing to fucking do with that guy. I feel like that's how the average moviegoer is right now. People, they're like, I don't want to sit through an entire origin story for all six characters. So, boom, we get them out of the way. Bang, 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 bang. And then all these reviews afterwards are, oh, we didn't get enough time with these. I don't understand what's going on. Like, there's like a bad guy. Like, dude, are you kidding me? I thought that this was the perfect – every character had a perfect amount of story. Even Steppenwolf, who I agree, he should have been much more practical affected, but – the CGI was not the worst thing. The worst CGI in the entire movie was, I felt, in the opening scene where it looked like Henry Cavill's face was not his face, where they CG'd off his mustache. But aside from that, like, I mean, you touched on everybody. The standout role for me, I did love the Flash, but like Cyborg, who I felt was minimal in the marketing, was a huge part of the movie, and that dude Ray Fisher like totally blew me away. I'm super stoked to see more Cyborg.
Okay, well, you know, that kind of reminds me of another thing. It's just like, it's the whole character development. It's kind of, remember when we had the conversation about Fast and Furious 8 and how I already forgot the freaking names, but Jason Statham's character decides to save, you know, Dom's baby, and then all is forgiven, everyone's okay with him killing Han, right? I'm like, I just don't get that, and they don't explain it.
And it's one of the highest grossing movies of all time. Explain the logic to me.
It's not that extreme, but in this, Aquaman, you know, Arthur Curry has an issue with this guy, the Cyborg. Like throughout most of the middle of the movie, he just keeps making these comments, and all of a sudden, like, it doesn't ever like explain why he's okay with him. It's just like, okay, like this guy, let's forget that he had an issue with him.
I didn't see that as an issue. I thought you were going to say.
But to me, I think logically, and I try to connect things. And,
I think it's more of the fact that Cyborg comes from the Mother Box, and Arthur Curry, knowing what he knows about the Mother Box, thinks that they have control over Cyborg.
Yeah, of course.
But once he kind of shows that he can come back out of it, I mean, I guess not without sounding like, you have to do this, you know, one of those guys. But it's like, I think you have to read into the off-screen conversations that go on. And again, with BVS, it was a lot of choppiness. You know, it had scenes that didn't exactly quite make sense. I mean, the comic book characters and fans can't put it together. But when the Ultimate Cut came out, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's where they were going with that, or that's how that happened. So I feel that by, you know, the whole Warner Brothers having them chop up this movie takes away from the average film goer, like you're saying, to where they have to pose those questions as opposed to the film answering those questions for them.
I'd see, and that confuses me, because I feel like the average film goer, why would they even care? I feel like that the off screen conversation is for us, for I literally just want to watch like Batman and Wonder Woman talk about like armor for the next half hour. That sounds great to me. Like, yeah, I just want to see Vic Stone in the lab like trying on different armors for the next 45 minutes. Sure. I'm great with that. Or watch Mira make air bubbles underwater and have Valko and, you know, Drago show up and – or not Drago. Dolph Lundgren show up. And, yeah, I would have loved to see all that. I mean, but I didn't think it was integral to the story, and I could understand. I felt like this cut in theaters was for the average moviegoer, and, like, that would be a bigger complaint to me. Like, why does an average moviegoer care?
The thing you have to understand is the average moviegoer doesn't – sit afterwards with his freaking wife or friends and talk about this movie in detail like we're talking about it right now. And so it just leaves those questions like, this didn't make any sense. This didn't make any sense. Like, what was this?
If you need more detail on any one of these characters, with the exception of Cyborg, if you want some more information on Flash, there's literally three seasons of television that can
be. I understand. I know what you're saying.
There's 27 million Batman movies. Wonder Woman just had a movie, and Aquaman comes out next December.
I get it.
Average moviegoers are being way too picky right now.
Average moviegoer started with Man of Steel, right? Just all in order. Watch Suicide Squad. They've never watched anything else beyond that. It was someone who saw Man of Steel, was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. It's kind of dark. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like The Dark Knight.
I'm not sure what reviews you read of Man of Steel, but Man of Steel got obliterated as well.
I actually enjoyed Man of Steel more than
that. It's great. Yeah. It's great. So he's like, oh, I'm going to keep that tone with BVS, and everybody complained about that. They lighten it up with Justice League, and everybody's, where's the darker tone?
It got a little bit more. It got darker, but like, Man of Steel and PBS, while there are a lot of similarities, it is kind of slightly different. I felt like Man of Steel was more like the Nolan trilogy of Dark Knight.
Well,
I feel
it was produced by Nolan.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, obviously, right? And so, it's like I said, so the average moviegoer, if they just started off with Man of Steel, right, and then they go and watch Suicide Squad, BVS, and then they go watch this movie, they see a little bit of Flash in BVS. You get the little hints that we understand what they are, like in BVS where he has a screen with all of them, like all the
logo. Yeah, the convenient PDF file that Lex
puts. All the surveillance, but the average moviegoer doesn't know what that is. They don't catch it unless they go read or they follow Nerdist on Facebook or, you know? And so they might miss that completely. And so when they come into this, it's just like, okay, this guy, I mean, he introduces him, whatever, but they don't know all the backstory to him already like we do. And so it kind of leaves questions that aren't answered. And like I said, it wasn't a bad movie. I just think the average moviegoer would be a little, not a little confused, but.
I feel like the average moviegoer should be left wanting more. And there's so much more out there that you can go get right now.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying, if you do like, we won't even consider like the past several years of Marvel films. You just look at phase one of Marvel and you start off with Iron Man, Thor, Incredible Hulk, Captain America, and then
name two of four good movies so far.
Okay, no, I they're all great. But you watch all of those. You don't need any like I said, I never read the comic books. I mean, I didn't follow anything about Iron Man until I saw the damn movie. And so it wasn't until Iron Man came out and then all the other ones started coming out, I realized they were all connected. It got me interested in watching them. And then it got me really excited for the team up. But this one, they only had the origin story, obviously, for Wonder Woman, which obviously is the best one out of the DC, in my opinion.
Debatable.
And Man of Steel. I mean, those two were the only origin stories. Then you have, you know, Batman, which, again, we don't need origin stories for Batman. I mean, I think that's goes without saying. I don't think anybody that would watch this movie has not seen the other Batman movie. But I mean,
all right, we're wrapping up Haters Corner now. We're getting into the circular logic here.
This has been Haters Corner.
This is going to come down to the average moviegoer just needs to get a little smarter. I mean, what else did I say?
Even that, it's like I feel like DC also doesn't have the same ideas Marvel, because Marvel did give you those origin movies before Avengers. Marvel did kind of give you the backstory. It even created love interests for Captain America and so on and so forth, and brought in the Natalie Portmans and everything. But DC's kind of saying, hey, if you want to know, you go out and buy our books. And you can read all
that. Yeah, or you wait till next year for the Aquaman movie.
Yeah,
or exactly. There's also three seasons of Flash you can watch on Netflix right now.
But
you
yeah,
talk about them if you need some more Batman.
But you're going to get the movie fine. Grant Gustin Flash.
See, I was fine with Bruce Wayne's origin story of Aquaman. You talked to Fish, right? Cool. Beautiful. Moving on. I'm good with that. That's fine with me.
I wish we had a little bit more in Atlantis, just because I think that world is fucking cool.
Yes. And that's yeah, what was it? Like
that just 5, 10 cool.
minutes?
Maybe. Amber is hot.
God. It's okay. She's going to die in the next one.
She looks great. I was really curious how they would do like talking underwater when I saw her do like the fucking air bubbles. First of all, it made the action figure make so much more sense. I was like, why did she come with these fucking little wave things to go in her hands? Now we know. I love that piece.
Well, even then, is the director of Aquaman said that there's actually going to be underwater dialogue in Aquaman. They're not just going to talk in air bubbles.
Like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be better.
I trust James Wan directing just about anything, in particular this. I love that dude, so I have faith that he'll pull that off right.
They're going to do it like the way they did in the cartoons, where the little circles come out of their heads and they communicate like that, like dolphins. Dude, there's just subtitles on the bottom. It's like, that
was it. So the next thing in our notes here was defining moments for the movie, and just stuff that we – quips that we really loved or pieces that we really loved. And to play on what you just said, Homer, I loved that note where Aquaman – where Batman's like, you know, so what do? You just like chat with them, and he's like, no, it's more like, you know, I feel it in the waves. That like is direct homage to the dude. Those are like waves coming out of his head. I was like, oh, that's fucking genius. Very cool. That was one of my favorite things in the movie. Tyler, what do you got? One of your favorite moments.
One of my favorite moments, and I can't believe this is one of my favorite moments, but like I hate Superman as a character. I think he's the worst character. Yay. So
OP, but, too much, too yeah. OP.
I mean, like I'll move the laptop here and show you the giant wall of Batman shit I have right here. So
yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
heard that.
Yeah. So my favorite part was the beginning of the movie with that little found footage style, the kids asking Superman the question. Sure, it was terrible CGI, but you know what? I wanted to bring this up earlier, but maybe Superman heard the call and he knew he was at the dentist, so he still got the cotton swab stuck up in his mouth. That's what it kind of looked like to me. But that was one of my favorite parts because it just really kind of set the tone for the film that, you know, hope. It really drove it home.
I will say that that did really set the tone. I could see why that opening sequence played so much better than if we had just opened straight into that Batman sequence. A super simple way to, I don't know. I thought it would relate to the audience, but I don't know about this average moviegoer anymore. I thought it did set the tone very well. I'd have to agree 100% with you.
Yeah. I mean, the Batman sequence right after was badass because, I mean, that was like straight Arkham style. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was good. And so in the background of that, that Janice sign is very prominent. It's in that scene, right?
Yeah.
Janice. And I was like, I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to remember in the movie, but then I was like, just so kind of dumbfounded by like what was happening. I was like, dude, he's like literally just fucking beating the shit out of this guy. And it's awesome. So, and I didn't put it together until later. Nice little nod to good old Black Mask.
Yes, sir.
David, did you have a favorite part of this movie?
I really liked the whole in the beginning where they have the war between the humans, the Atlanteans, the right, and then the Amazons. I thought that was pretty cool. Favorite part?
Nope, that was yours. Next.
No, that wasn't my favorite.
You didn't have to choose a favorite part, just one of your favorite parts. We can do more than one. There's a lot of good shit in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I've got plenty more.
There's way more good than there was bad. I mean, my bad list is very short when I compare it to my good list. That fight scene that you're talking about was, like, riddled with cameos, too. What do you got?
We need power to this box, and putting this box in a pool of water with Superman in it is going to bring him back to life.
I feel like you're like just literally broke away from what you said was one of your favorite moments and just jumped into some random other scene. So we're just going to ignore that part. We had Zeus in there. We had confirmed Artemis is in there. We had the giant lady. That's Artemis, right?
Well, Artemis is actually in Wonder Woman. She was the black one that with the axe and they were in the training sequence.
Got you.
Amy Adams shows up and it's just like everything's okay. But then again, if Amy Adams walked up to me looking at me like that, I'd be like, okay.
Again, with the scene change, I don't understand. We're hanging on this scene right here. One of the coolest moments in the entire movie, and that's that scene that you talked about earlier. I should have let you go on it earlier since you had to talk about it then. When they kill that lantern and fucking whoop, you see that ring go out, and man, they really hang on Steppenwolf's face as he watches that ring fly away. Too bad it hasn't.
I was expecting Ryan Reynolds to show up out of nowhere
Oh God. It is CGI. Green
Lantern talking about suit. Bad CGI. You have the nerve to talk about Steppenwolf CGI, but you'll suck the Green Lantern movie's dick all day. Homer, what you got?
I don't know if there was like a part, but I just loved that how I guess they made Bruce Wayne slash Batman kind of like push everyone to their, I don't want to say limit, but kind of like push them out of where they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, because the Flash is scared the entire time. And then that point where he's like, just say one. You'll know, just freaking say one. And you, the one, and he's like, okay, hold on. I could do one more. Yeah. And then before you know it, he has like all 8, 9 people. And he's like, okay, let's go. Let's get the hell out of here. Like, I did it. You know, but it also showed when he was talking to Wonder Woman and she pushes him, you know, where he's like, oh, did Steve tell you that? Because, you know, and then she pushes him. And I'm like, oh, okay. This guy's actually like pushing people to where they need to get. You know what I mean? He's pushing them to the limit where they need to belong. You know, he's like, you're a hero, Flash. Like, come on now. Mm-hmm. No one's going to see you anyway, but somebody did eventually.
That's some good, that's definitely some good shit. And I love that scene with Flash as well, where he's just like, save one, you'll know what to do. And he does it, and his face just is like,
I can do it. Yeah.
Tyler, what you got?
Another favorite scene or what?
Yep.
I mean,
just a positive thing on the movie, man. There's just so much to touch on. And I mean, we could probably go from start to finish, but.
Yeah.
I'm sure our ADD brains are not going to fucking function like that, so why not just keep it all over the place to start?
I did it also, you know, going, I guess, starting from the beginning of the movie where I like the Superman clip, but going into the Wonder Woman thing where she's saving the folks in London, and I like how they specifically in the one part of the scene where she's blocking all the bullets in front of everybody. It's just, yeah. I mean, that was just, you know, just pure badassness. I don't think any character had another more badass scene than that part where she just went to town and just blocked everything.
That was a very, very cool scene. I would have to agree.
And that was definitely a scene I got yelled at because the guy shooting the gun was Roose Bolton from Game of Thrones. And it took me twice. And it took me twice to realize that because I was watching the first one. I was like, man, I've seen that motherfucker somewhere before. And then when he starts talking the second time, I was like, that's Ramsay Bolton's dad. She's like, shut him up.
That's fucking hilarious. I would not have known that. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
How dare you?
I heard about it too late in my life, and I don't have the time to go back and watch it.
Yeah, what somebody says. There's like so many seasons.
I did 6 seasons in 2 weeks.
That's insane. We talked about this when we went.
I
did it the right way, though.
Yeah, I held my beer and watched them all.
There you go. I touched on this earlier, but I love Batman, and I loved that he wasn't in that tactical suit the whole movie, because it's definitely not my favorite suit. Those glasses look like really cool for an action figure and not that cool on screen. But that being said, I was super excited that the tunnel sequence, that first time they fight in the tunnel where he's got the Nightcrawler, they really, in the trailers, made it seem like that was going to be kind of the finale fight. And I was kind of like, eh. They did that the same thing with BVS where they were showing you the biggest fight scenes in the trailer. And I was super stoked to see that was not the finale. I was very concerned when Superman came back. I was like, this shouldn't be a problem, right? Like, Steppenwolf waited for Superman to die so he could come. Superman should come back and he should just kick his ass, right? And fuck yeah, he did. He just came back and kicked that dude's ass. So I was super stoked to see that. That was like one of my favorite things, seeing that fight, like, because it was literally just a fucking beatdown.
Yeah.
It was pretty solid. He ice breathed his axe.
Finally.
That's the first time we've seen the ice breath.
First time ice breath, yeah.
I thought so. So I was pretty stoked on that. Anybody else got a defining moment they want to share before we move on to the next topic? Aside from David,
come on! I'm joking. I liked it when Superman showed up. I really liked the like when he saw his mom. And I mean, like I said, I'm a big baby. I kind of got a little emotional and like almost cried when his mom gets out of the truck.
For sure, man.
Him and
yeah, that's the part I took my son to the bathroom during.
But then like he shows up and it's just like, I'm here and I'm going to kick your ass is basically what happened.
I love that. You know, I wanted to talk about the moment. It's the two parts that involve Superman too. One, how they brought back Superman. I see a lot of complaints about that. I don't have a big deal with it. What do y'all think?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty sad. Same way they fucking brought Zod back to life.
Yeah.
Except we got to see Flash do something cool.
But the right way.
I know David kind of complained about it, but that's how they brought him back.
I was messing around. I mean,
it's whatever. Superman, you know.
I thought it was a little too convenient, but they had to bring him out some way. And
yeah, so convenient that the Flash could run that fast.
I guess I couldn't think of a more interesting way to do it, so it's fine.
Cyborg's dad worked there.
Why was he
already had a key card?
I don't understand why. I mean, I guess I'm just like overthinking it, but I don't understand why all of a sudden he's just like pissed off at Batman's like, you won't let me die, you won't let me live, you won't let me die, and he gets all pissed off. And then, like I said, he's Amy Adams.
Did you see BVS?
Yeah.
Did we watch the same movie?
Yeah, but they reconciled right before.
It was more of a
reconciled with his death.
Yeah, he's like, you got to kill me. Cool, peace.
But what Batman should have done is like think about Martha, and everything would have been okay.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Superman would have been like, "You're right. You stand here and get stabbed."
Because you know, as Aaron sent me a message afterwards, is he realized that Lois Lane was the key because of the nightmare sequence in Batman versus Superman.
Dude, I did not get this in the
movie. I didn't even think about that.
He was all, bring out the big guns, and it was Lois. I was all, makes sense.
That was cool. I mean, that part was really cool. I was like, what do you mean big guns?
Then I was thinking about it. I heard some people talk, and I was putting a piece together. And I like, as soon as it clicked, I hit text Tyler and said, I was like, oh, my God, I feel like an idiot because I just got this right now. Dude, Lois is the key from BVS. It's the Flash scene in fucking BVS. Lois was the key Superman back to – it was – like, I really, really liked the movie. And, like, the movie.
I did not think of that up until right now when y'all said that. And that was – that actually, like – okay, I'm cool. Yeah. I'm cool.
Dude, that, like, really pushes you towards the positive side, right? Like, I was already at, like, a 95. Like, I'm way above that now, like –
the average moviegoer is going to put that link together. I mean, hell, I couldn't even do that.
Well, I mean,
but then again, I overthink.
The whole Superman coming back was another one of my favorite parts. Again, as much as I hate the guy, my favorite part of the movie was when he's holding Batman by the neck, and he's like, "Do you bleed?" And I was just like, "Dude, like, trash talk supreme right there, man! Like, dude, just
what a call
making him eat his words."
Yeah, that scene was just incredibly fun to see Superman come back and be mad, like, but how everybody else interacted with him was just so fun. And to see when Flash starts running around him and Flash is all like, oh yeah, just save those people, like, I'm fucking badass now, I'm gonna come around. And then his head starts to turn. I was all, that's clever, that's pretty clever.
His eye just caught him like, where are you going, sucker?
And then they kept it up, too, because, like, when Superman was fighting him, he literally was on the defensive the entire time. Like, he didn't try to fight back because he was just so blown away that Superman could keep up with him.
He was just taking it back. And then he just ends up tripping, right?
Yeah.
That's how he gets him at that point. Just fucking trips into a car. Ridiculous.
But doesn't Aquaman tell him something about that?
Yeah, he's tripping himself over your own feet. And
mine. Yeah, don't be tripping anymore. Because he trips also when he's running up that wall.
Yeah. I loved that scene. As much as the humor, I could have done with a little less of the humor and taken a more serious tone. That scene where Aquaman's sitting on the lasso.
Yeah.
And just like rolling, like, cause he's talking and you're all, man, you get a little deep over there. Aquaman.
I did like, not see that coming on that lasso part. I did not.
And then they're just all like, and then he sees it. I loved it. Loved it.
I stopped listening when he said, we're all going to die. Like,
definitely another, one last shining moment. Sorry, guys.
You got it, man. Go for it.
But, you know, I felt that when Barry was exploring the Batcave, it was kind of like how everybody would be exploring the Batcave if they ever went into the Batcave.
I was listening to a show with John Snepp, and he like put Barry's whole character in perspective, and like referencing that scene in particular, like Barry is the viewer. Like if we were in the movie, we would be Barry and we would be geeking out.
Yeah, like, he's a little fanboy.
Entire just, movie. Yeah. Yeah. And that scene was hilarious.
Did you spot the Ace Chemicals sign?
I obviously, all I did all weekend was just refresh Easter eggs found in Justice League to see which ones I missed. And I didn't see that one. Where was it? Did you see it in the movie?
Yeah, it was whenever the bat signal was shining and Barry was making, he pointed it out. It was right there at the bottom of the screen. It said Ace Chemicals.
It's that same scene from the trailer. The one where he's like, oh, it's the back. We got to put all that shit there.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, I didn't see it. And when I read that one, I was like, fuck, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I had caught most of the other ones, but that's definitely one that I had missed.
Their chemistry reminds me of, like, Spider-Man and Iron Man is the best way to put it. Like, he's such a kid and such, you know, so like, oh my god, like, you're Iron Man. He's like, yeah, just kind of keep it cool, kid. Like,
yeah. So you're talking about Homecoming.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just connected so well that that's what it reminded me of whenever I saw them two on screen. I was like, that's all I see is one rich guy and one kid. Like, that's all it is, you know?
Yeah. What's your superpower? I'm rich. God.
Yeah.
I also, I know we were going to move on, but I wanted to talk about Cyborg one time before we leave, like the little booyah at the end. I fucking loved that. I was wondering where they were going to get the booyah in there, and I just thought the spot that they had it in was just so seamless. And it was like, is it that fight with Steppenwolf was like super fun already, and despite what the average moviegoer may say, I thought it made a lot of sense and was just fine. And when he had the booyah at the end, I was like, oh, dude, what like an icing on the cake. And then to further put icing, more icing, put some sprinkles on the cake and a birthday candle, we get that first post-credit scene. Now, I know at least one person in this panel right here was fucking geeked on that scene. Yeah, you know who you are. Yeah. It's you.
I know who I am, yeah.
Dude, how'd you feel about that scene, Tyler?
It was great. You know, it definitely... The movie overall reminded me of like one of the Justice League Unlimited, the cartoon. Mm-hmm. There was an episode of that. I know it because it just felt fun, and yeah, I mean, it was quick. I wish it was longer, but that scene right there just really brought back the cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon feel of, you know, now that the fighting's over, it's time to play, guys. Let's shoot the fastest man alive.
See, and so like I kind of got hyped when he was running to go save them, and then Superman was like, he's not going to make it in time or something like that. And he goes and they're running side to side. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Cause they actually do run like that and try to do a race. And I was like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. And when that credit came out, I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. Like that's pretty freaking funny.
Yeah. It was just fun. And it gave that comic book, you know, cause it's not all fighting everything. And, you know, I feel like at the end of the Marvel movie, there's like the resolve, like at the end of the Avengers, it shows, you know, Captain America driving off on the motorcycle, Iron Man rebuilding Stark Towers, the Avengers Tower. But this one showed like, hey, the superheroes want to find out who's the fastest man alive. So they're going to do that shit. They're going to fight, you know, they're going to set aside the time to race each other.
I mean,
yeah, I thought that was awesome.
It's going to be a pretty quick race. I mean, they're pretty fast, you know. I'm sure they could spare the time.
Well, yeah, true that. I mean, the Flash generally wins or it's a draw, so.
I definitely think the Flash is winning that race, but they do. That's a great comparison that I hadn't made until right now or thought about. The movie kind of as a whole is very reminiscent of a Justice League Unlimited episode.
Yep.
Like that show, it's quick. There's some great serious moments. There's some great fun moments, and there's usually some badass action in it. That is an excellent comparison, I think, to what this movie was, and like kind of especially in this, you know, this cut that we have, the theatrical version, like it is an excellent comparison.
I felt like it wasn't even 2 hours.
No,
it was like I don't know. I felt like I got off. Yeah, I felt I waited longer, and the most dragging was the credit scenes before that end credit. I was like, oh, credit. Oh, okay, cool scene. Credit. Like, that was the only time that dragged for me. Other than that, I was like, ooh, I need to pee. No, it's all right. I could hold it. I need to pee. pass me your cup real quick. You ain't drinking it anymore. You know, like, I didn't want to leave because there was, like, I feel like I'm going to go pee for, like, 30 seconds and come back and be like, you missed, like, half the movie. I'm like, really?
Right.
Because there was something in every scene. There wasn't anything to where it's like, oh, yeah, we're on the, you know, on this freaking, the ship talking for 5 seconds, and it's like, okay, this big gap. Then we do something else, and then it was just scene after scene, location after location. And so I was like, god damn, like, I can't move. Like,
location, location, location.
Yeah. All right, let's calm down.
Dude, that's why as soon as he got to the farm, mm-hmm, I was like, oh, this is the time.
Oh, it's a Superman part?
It's either going to be now or never, all right? Ain't nothing going to happen on this farm, let me tell you. I've been around some farms.
He comes back, they were like fighting.
Half the farms burned down.
I would have been.
The dark side shows up.
I wouldn't even have been mad. I would have been impressed.
I was just thinking of, like, come on, dude. Like, I'm waiting for Batman to, like, call her and be like, get his ass over here. Now we're getting our asses handed to us. Now.
You know, speaking of the farm, that was one thing that it was a cute joke at the end where he's like, what'd you do? He's like, I bought the bank. Yeah. Who the fuck let Martha's house go to foreclosure to begin with? You're telling me the government, yeah, didn't have an eye on her? Fucking
Bruce, for real, Wayne
didn't have an eye on her? Be like, oh, you know, I can't. You know, I mean, her son kind of fucking saved the world.
Or, you know what?
Yeah, but they didn't know it was Clark Kent. They didn't know. You know, that's why they had like two separate graves.
Lois fucking knew. Lois could have fucked her up. She's a reporter. She ain't got connections. You tell me she ain't got connections right now.
The general guy knew it was Clark.
There you go. See?
Journalism people don't make a lot of money. And most of the government don't like them.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, no. Here we go. Moving on. The final post-credit scene.
Oh, my
Deathstroke.
God.
Deathstroke.
Whoa.
I don't know. I screamed. Like, actually screamed. At the very, I knew what it was as soon as I saw it. Man. No, it was up. Like, I, like, tear off the shirt. Like, you know.
Oh, you Hogan.
Woo! Oh. Yeah, Hogan, Rick Flair, everything, did, man. Everything, dude. No, when I saw the
shit,
yeah, when I saw from the back and I saw the two swords and the little bandana thingy, I knew immediately what it was, and I screamed. But Alicia thought it was Nightwing for some reason, because all she saw was the swords. So she's like, "Oh my god, it's Nightwing!" I was like, "No, bitch, it's Deathstroke. Shut the fuck up."
She thought it was the sticks.
Yeah,
why don't even come with you?
Yeah, I was like, "Who are you?" But, oh, man, I was worried that they were going to do the salt and pepper Manu Bennett style. But when we took off the helmet, it was full white hair, white goatee. Dude, I'm done. Sold.
They, like, plucked that image, like, straight out of a comic book, man. Like, first of all, I thought we weren't going to get the Deathstroke because, you know, there was all the talk beforehand of, you know, all those scenes are cut. Joe Manganiello doesn't know what's going on anymore. There was also the talk of the Luther scenes all cut 100%.
Yeah, but then, like, 2 weeks before the movie, Manganiello posted a picture of Deathstroke's helmet on his Twitter, so I knew it was safe.
But I thought he was also – there's the rumor that he's going to get his own solo movie too, so I didn't know if it was in relation to that. Again, underwhelming myself. You know, under-promise, over-deliver, man.
That's fair.
So I was just – I had zero expectation. I expected to see neither of them. The fact that I heard that there was going to be a post-credit scene, let alone two, I was kind of in shock with that to begin with. So seeing that, dude, like, fucking Joe Manganiello looks the
part. And I had texted Aaron because I was there, like,
oh, yeah,
on the verge of piss. Like, just like, I'm going to pee my pants. Is there one credit or two? And I'm like, please, Aaron, come in clutch and tell me now. And he was on two, and I was like, we waiting. Lean back. We waiting for the scene.
Yep.
That's funny that you say that, because Amaya was like, it's over. And I'm like, no, baby, go, there's stuff afterwards. And she's like, okay. So we see Superman and Flash part. And she's like, all right. And I'm all like, there's more. She's like, why are we staying here? Because there's more there. She's like, why? And I'm all like, it's because it's how they do it, babe.
You should have just handed her the phone and been like, YouTube, just.
You should have told her to be reading those names and telling those people thank you.
Yeah, I was actually paying attention to it. But anyway, I saw Deathstroke. All I could think about was Brunch Bros. But if you don't know that, you have to look it up.
All I was thinking was Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. Dude, that's awesome.
That's over my head too.
Did you ever see? You probably did. You never watched How I Met Your Mother, did you, Aaron?
No. I mean, I've seen How I Met Your Mother, but I didn't watch it in its entirety.
Well, he's in the show, and it's one of the jokes of a couple episodes. He's Marshall's brunch bro.
Oh. I don't understand. Like, we don't have to just reference other things he was in. Like, when I saw him, the first thing I thought of was Magic Mike 2 in the gas station.
The difference. Magic Mike 2.
I haven't seen part 2. I've seen the first one.
Dude, first of all,
I've never seen either one of them. So.
Dude, the second one's way funnier than the first one. It's just super deceiving. Like, I don't know if Tyler fell off. Oh, his laptop died. I was like super thrown off. I was like, again, that's not him. That's not him.
Yeah, it doesn't look like him. But like he was saying, the whole goatee, the whole, you know, patch over the eye, like everything.
I think the picture that was in our video chat because it's a.
Oh, I thought we were still not talking about Deathstroke, but all right.
Dude, he looked exactly like him. What are you smoking?
No, but I did not see the actor, is what I mean. Like, I couldn't tell.
I see what you're saying.
Like, I saw him and I saw Deathstroke. You know what I mean? I didn't see, like, oh my God, it's him, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, like I said, there was so much change to his face. Like, he actually had facial hair. He was white. He had the kind of scarish, you know, older gentleman look. He had a freaking patch. And that's why I was like, and I looked up. I was like, oh, okay. But I mean, I also love that he was also, they were like already talking about the table for the Justice League, you know, now Luther was like, hey, we need a team. You know, he's like, they got one. We need one too. But see, what kind of threw me off was that guy laughing. The one laughing in where he's all, Luther, come on. Come on, Luther, get out.
In prison, right?
And he kind of starts laughing and I was like, is this supposed to be like maybe the Joker left some laughing gas and helped out Luther? And he just kept laughing and laughing. I was like, and then he went over there and turned him around. I was waiting for like a big, you know, that whole grin smile and he's just frozen. That's what I was waiting for.
Oh man, that would have been insane.
But then he just kept laughing and I was like, no. And then that's when it continued and I was like, oh, okay. Okay, but for some reason, that's what I thought, because he just started laughing. I was like, oh, what is this going to do? But
I thought we were going to see more cameos from, like, but I mean.
There was literally, like, 7,000 characters in this movie. Like,
I was hoping, and all within 30 seconds.
I was hoping we would just get, like, a snippet of someone from Suicide Squad or something like that. I mean, I didn't expect it, but it would have been cool.
Yeah, I was waiting for Thor to come in too. And
you know, to be honest, you know who I had an idea of what the post credit scene was going to be, and I had heard by accident because I tried really hard to avoid everything, and someone made the note that it was somebody returned, and I was like, you know who I thought it was going to be? I thought it was going to be Amanda Waller.
See.
That's who I thought it was going to be at first. Maybe
because I don't remember that scene in the trailer when Alfred says that. He kind of says, what is he saying? Yeah. I knew you would show up.
He said you'd come.
Was that in the movie?
It was not in the movie.
Right? I can't really do that shit, man. It pisses me off.
There was another scene not in the movie, too. It's a scene where he's like looking at the hologram. When the guy's like, no lanterns, no Kryptonians. He's looking at the hologram, and it looks like Superman's boot. And there was a lot of speculation that that was another character. It wouldn't have been – it wasn't Superman, or it may have been his cousin, Superwoman or Supergirl.
Cut it out. It was probably Superman. It's probably who it was.
Oh, I'm sure it was Superman. And
just cut it out of the final.
That's why we got to wait for that. Extended cut without WB doing stuff, and it's 2.5 hours long. Like, I'm serious. Like, if they brought back, like, hey guys, it's going to be a 3-hour long movie, and there's going to be an intermission of 5 minutes, I'd be like, okay.
Cool. All right, when did tickets go on sale?
Because you know what? I feel like a lot of people would be like, oh, I don't think it's worth it. But all the real fanboys would be like, okay, I'll pay an extra $10.
No way, okay, dude. Look I'm at what down. Happened when they like, released the ultimate cut of BVS. That was a 3-hour long movie too. The movie was already at like 2.5, and they added the extra or 2:20, and they added the extra 30-40 minutes. And no, fucking one of the highest selling Blu-rays of all time. Yeah. They give you that ultimate cut. Like, I want to see that ultimate cut. Like, fucking, I don't know. Like, make it a $40 Blu-ray. I don't care. Like, what do you need to charge to
for me to watch effects,
what, yeah. That are in Snyder's version or like the 3-hour or the 4-hour version? Because I guess the rumor was that the movie was pushing 3 hours already.
And that's and then the thing.
When it came on, they're like, nope, I need it down to 2. And.
And you know, even when you see the movie on Blu-ray with that extended cut and all those features, I mean, all the extra stuff, like you look at it and you're still like, dude, the movie's over. And I started it at 1:00. It's 5:00. You know, like I still don't feel that whole time passed. Like they did it so well that you get up and you're like, dude, that was a good movie. You want to go get lunch? It's dinner. Oh, you know, like
they're doing it. Zero problem watching the whatever fucking 12-hour long version. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that I'll two discs. It. Disc one is over. Put in disc two. Finally,
hardcore.
I want to talk about.
Hey,
boom! All right, so this is what we're gonna do.
Oh, finally done with work.
Yeah.
So we sorry, my computer up. Just couldn't handle the fact Deathstroke was in this movie.
He couldn't handle boom. The greatness.
Boom. So there was one we talked about, the length of this movie, how can't wait to get the extended cut. There was one note that I wanted to leave on, and I wanted to make sure that Tyler was here for this conversation. The future of what this actually means for the Justice League, especially given that second post-credit scene. I know that, you know, Luther's like, we need to form a league of our own. Which is cute and all, but I really feel like this is setting up Flashpoint. You got fucking Deathstroke already with Luther, which, I mean, on a yacht, which that is like one of the, especially in the animated movie, that's like one of the most iconic scenes in that movie when they're literally on the fucking yacht together trying to fuck up some Atlanteans and they ended up getting messed up. Like, I really felt like that's a great setup and that's already what seems to be in talks. I mean, you know, there's the rumor that Batfleck's out. Gyllenhaal's in talks. I don't know.
Stupid.
What? Who said stupid? Gyllenhaal?
See, yeah.
Hold on. Have you seen Southpaw?
Yeah, I've seen Southpaw.
I love Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, but
that's a Batman. I'm Batman for life. Ben Affleck is by far the best Batman. But
I hate when they fuck. What? The best Batman?
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you say best Batman?
I mean, unless you want to
meet him and Michael Keaton, yeah.
Oh,
but wait, a terrible Batman.
Mr. Mom delivers.
All of this
multiplicity is great. All
right. I think Christian Bale is the best Batman.
You're high. Is not the best.
Okay.
Christian Bale is the best Batman.
No.
Christian Bale is a human Batman.
He is a great Batman in Nolan's universe.
Exactly.
He is not the Batman.
Michael Keaton is a very unbelievable Batman.
He's a great Batman for Keaton's universe.
Yeah, but Keaton's like 5'6", 5'7".
I meant Burton's universe.
There's no way I believe that Keaton is going to hang a dude Burton over the... Burton
Schumacher's universe is together, though, so...
Right, Burton Schumacher's universe is where a 5'7" guy could pick up a 6'2" and hang him over a building without hurting himself.
Don't talk about George Clooney like that. Don't talk about him like that.
Bad Nibbles.
I think Ben Affleck was a great Batman. I'm not getting on.
George Clooney was short. George Clooney would have been like the ultimate Dark Knight Returns Batman, like in 5 years. Like,
Clooney was a good Bruce Wayne.
He was a great Bruce Wayne. I think he could have been a good Batman, but he was short.
I think Val Kilmer did a very good Bruce Wayne, though.
If he closed
I think Ben Affleck's better at being
Bruce Wayne. Dude, Val Kilmer makes zero sense as Batman ever. Although, I will say, Batman Forever is a super underrated movie. That movie's fucking legit.
There's a lot of good shit in there.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. He calls him Harvey Dent. Like he calls him by his name. That's a legit ass movie. But Val Kilmer, like, he's not ripped. He's not that good looking.
I'm sorry I derailed us.
Okay. No. Way to go. Anyways, what do you see for the future of the Justice League? Tyler, go.
I see a Legion of Doom movie possibly in the futures.
You got Black Manta coming.
That's right. Black Manta is going to be in the Aquaman movie. I feel that maybe Deathstroke might have a more predominant role in the Batman solo film coming up. I know he was rumored for that before, but I feel like he's just something's going to be like he's not going to be like the big bad of the film, but he's going to be like that thorn in the side that's going to eventually set up for something later. Henry Cavill says he's got another Superman movie under his contract, so there's going to be definitely Man of Steel 2, and you know, whatever Flash happens, I'm sure it'll happen. And I don't know. I'd like to see a solo Flash film, but if not, I'd like to see him appear in other, you know, Super Friend style, where he pops up in other people's movies and helps out.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be like a Hulk character in Marvel. Like, he's just going to, I'm going to be in the movies, I'm not going to have my own movie.
See, I feel that way about Cyborg more than I do about Flash.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because he's got the boom tube transportation.
Even then, I don't think Cyborg has a strong enough following and character basis to withstand a solo movie.
No, I agree. That's why I think he would serve better as just kind of a pop-in, pop-out. I think the Flash has the following. I mean, three seasons of it kind of shows that he does have a following, I think. Right. But I think Cyborg would be a nice pop-in, pop-out character to kind of start tying them together. Again, a la Flashpoint style, where he is one of the heads of the Justice League. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like all signs are pointing to that. I'd love to see Legion of Doom.
Now, as much as I want to see a Flashpoint movie, because it'd be fucking awesome, for the common moviegoers, I feel like that was just too much of a mindfuck.
Yes, I would have to agree. All right, boys. I think that's going to be a wrap.
But no opinion for me? I guess you don't want my
opinion. Oh, yeah. No, don't know if you guys need opinions.
No, we good.
I honestly, real quick. I really I really want to put my two cents in.
I want to hear it.
This is for my realistic, just like, business side opinion. Damn. I think
that business side.
I know.
No, he gets one job under
right now, the film is considered a box office bomb.
It's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not, dude.
It's underperforming in the domestic box office. Have you seen the overseas?
I understand that, but there's plenty of movies that have outperformed and recouped their budget internationally as well, and they discontinued whatever plans they had. So I have a feeling, maybe not right now, maybe they'll release another one or two movies.
All right.
But if those ones don't perform like this one did, or like this one didn't, I have a feeling they're going to Spider-Man 4 it all.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to say to you with I get you, your business side, but you don't hire that many Oscar award winning actors and actresses for a film just series just to say, fuck it, guys. Oh.
I get it, but you have to understand they're there to make money. They're not there to appease people.
We signed y'all on for contracts.
The day that Batman stops making money is going to be a totally different day, and our concerns are not going to be are they going to make DC movies
again. I'm telling you, I have this feeling. I don't think anybody thought in a million years they were going to pull the plug on Spider-Man 4.
I did
because I saw Spider-Man 3.
Yep. I saw how they mishandled Venom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bummed.
Emo Spider-Man was not for me.
That emo walk of shame, bro.
Because, I mean, their whole layout, they have all these directions they want to go, right, with the DCU. They want to call these movies. And, I mean, it's only going to take, like, a bomb or two, maybe even one bomb. Like, if one their next movie bombs like that,
it's not going to happen, though. It's not going to happen. They got the right people in place, and I think they're making the right changes now. And I think we saw a lot of that course correction with Justice League. I mean, next up we have Aquaman, handled by James Wan. I mean, what's a bad James Wan movie that you've seen?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, but then after that we have Shazam by I just drew a blank on the guy's name, but the guy who brought us Lights Out. I mean, that guy treated that thing like it's baby, and to the point where, I mean, I remember watching his original short and then seeing James Wan pick that up, and this is one of James Bond's homies. Like, if he trusts him, I'll trust him. I loved Lights Out, and I'm interested to see.
You didn't talk about that. How do you feel about Zachary Levi?
I don't know enough about Zachary Levi, but it's definitely not my first choice.
Nope.
I think
I like him. I saw him in Chuck. The show Chuck. I was a big fan of him.
I've seen Chuck, and that's not enough for me to...
He was also one of the Warriors 3.
Yeah.
In the Thor movie.
And he died.
And he died in the third.
Alrighty then.
I personally would have loved to see John Cena as Shazam.
Dude, that would have been excellent. That would have been excellent.
Not for acting ability, because you don't need an actor for Shazam. You just need big body buff.
But with a child's brain. Shazam is goofy because he's a child in a giant's body.
And that's what John Cena is.
Perfect. I think John Cena would have been.
Y'all are coming at this from like super comic book fans. I'm telling you, like, this is not. I'm putting my foot in the sand right now. I'm drawing my line. This is not going to be successful.
I do like the rumor that Black Adam is supposed to be the villain in Suicide Squad 2, because I would love to see a roast off between Will Smith and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I was kind of on the fence with it, but to think about those two interacting, and then you throw Margot Robbie in there too, like, what a catch, you know? Like,
you got the Fresh Prince and The Rock and his candy ass, man. You can't go wrong with that shit. I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to agree with you. See, and this is why I didn't want Dave. This is why we tried to skip David at the end. I didn't want to leave on these sour notes. So we have to end justifying the Justice League. Thanks a lot, David.
Justice for the
Justice League. It was fun. I like having these conversations.
No, I love it, man. That's why I love having you on the show. I love the ultimate viewpoint. Tyler?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, my friend. It's a pleasure having you on.
It's been good, man.
Yeah. You know, I'm here when you guys need me.
You got it, man. We'll be pretty light, like we had talked about, for the rest of the year with the holidays coming up. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you soon.
Roger that, guys.
And I'm Homer, guys. Y'all have a good one.
And I'm Tyler.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Y'all have a good night.
It's good to see you playing well with others again. Just like a bat. I dig it.
Maybe temporary.